This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic episode number 25, being recorded on Wednesday. It is the 30th of August, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
This old lady is feeling kind of lonely, so she says to herself, you know what, I'm going to go pick up some guys. She takes off all her clothes, puts on a trench coat, and walks into a bar. She sees three young guys drinking. She walks up to the first, opens her trench coat, and she says, super sex! He screams, oh my god, that's disgusting, and runs away. She walks up to the second guy, opens up her trench coat, and she says, super sex! He runs to the bathroom to throw up. Then she approaches the third guy, opens her trench coat, and she says, super sex! He looks her up and down and says, I'll have the soup.
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easton, my friends. Son of Easton, welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 25. We've made it to 25. That is a huge milestone. And I'm your host, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, pan attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to invite you, to welcome you, to have you here at episode number 25. I don't think we thought we were going to be here. I don't think we thought we were going to make it to 25. You know, in the kind of Potterverse, in the universe of podcasting, it's rare that shows make it to 10 episodes. That's sort of considered to be like a big deal. There's a couple of sites that won't even list your show unless you have 10 episodes that are already up online, because otherwise the directories wind up becoming filled with these kind of errant attempts, you know, with one show, two shows, red shows, blue shows. We've had kind of a tough time this summer. You know, we've had illness, we've had injury, we've had changes in jobs. My mom passed away. And yet here we sit on the 30th of August in 2006, doing episode number 25. There is no end in sight. Hours and hours and hours and hours of bullshit left to go. And you, of course, are invited to hang around for each one of those hours. Let's say hello and welcome to our good friends and co-hosts who are sitting in with us today on my right, radio left, back by popular demand. Mr. Parviz Vitali, Son of Easter.
Son of Easter, Robin. I guess we are in syndication now.
Yes, that's right.
We passed the magic 10.
We're going to be on the CW this weekend, I think.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
They need shows, I think.
Or Fox.
Welcome, Fox what?
Or Fox.
Oh, Fox.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Here's a guy that can't say Vitali, but he says Fox really well. Nicely done, my friend. And sitting across from me, my good friend, Sherry Stevens, Son of Easter.
Son of Easter, Robin.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm going to do a little adjustment of your mic even as we speak.
Okay, is that
perfect?
Better?
It's wonderful.
Good.
Thanks for joining us on short notice.
No problem.
Sean was going to be here today, and his wife is not feeling well. She's a little under the weather. He called me about an hour ago, and he said, I think I'm going to stay here and take care of her. I said, you do that. You save your marriage. You look after the woman who is betrothed to you for all time, till death do you part.
That'll change.
Now.
He's obviously very whooped. No.
How many of us in this room are still married? Hands raised. Okay, dude, you didn't raise your hand.
We didn't say happily.
Hey, did you just get married?
No. Yeah. Very happy.
Those are the good times.
No. Yeah. Yeah, they've been three of the happiest years of my life. And how long have you been married? 20 years. We got a great show today. First of all,
jam-packed.
It is jam-packed. It is jam-packed with multiple kinds of jam and a few jellies.
You want to do like 6 hours today and then we take 3 weeks off?
No.
Okay.
No, because we've already got photographs of the audience with their ears bleeding. And I don't need to see any more of that. I've had quite enough of that. We have a big show today. First of all, probably the thing that people are waiting for the most is the first entry in the entry. Okay, in our new segment, Ask Parviz.
Very excited.
We got that going on.
I'm
today.
So sorry I couldn't be here last week. It was very exciting.
That's why I'm here.
For Ask Parviz.
Ask Parviz.
All right, we're 5 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Sherry Stevens, and as always, we've got Mr. Kippadada in the house. Michael Zwirling is in the house.
Stroke or unload.
Dick Cheney, Harry Whittington, special anniversary greeting from Whitney Brown. And, of course, Samuel L. Is it Whitney Brown? No. Whitney Brown
no,
is...
No, Whitney.
Whitney Houston. Houston. Yeah. Sorry, Whitney.
Kiss my ass!
I That's said better. I was sorry.
Kiss my ass!
I'm Sammy Jackson.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Apparently not.
Where did that kiss my ass come from?
Whitney. Who's Whitney? First of all, who the fuck is Whitney? Oh, that's A. Whitney Brown from the old Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? A. Whitney Brown.
Yeah,
okay,
the
fine.
White guy.
Yeah, the white Whitney. As opposed to the Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown.
Okay.
That comes from the Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown reality series.
Remember that?
Yes.
You're
like the king of reality series.
Yeah, that one I didn't follow at all.
All right. So we're going to be doing the first episode of Ask Parviz today. So we're very excited about
that. Very excited too. I hope I can help people out there.
I'm sure you can.
I feel like I should get that like that sports blazer with all the question marks.
What?
Remember that guy on the infomercials? Ask Lesko, right?
Oh, yes.
Right? So I'm going to come in next week with the sport jacket and question marks all over it. So, you know, just... And then
Matthew Lesko.
Right.
Very nice.
Ask Lesko.
Apparently you do another... I thought you just did...
Don Knotts?
Don Knotts.
And
I didn't hear Don Knotts.
Oh, you never... All right, this is Don Knotts.
Give her a little... Hold on. Give her a little Don Knotts. Hold on. We'll give her a little drum roll here. Give him a little,
All right. You have to close your eyes, sure.
And put your hands over your ears.
Right.
And then blow your nose. Right. Turn your head and cough.
Here we go. A little bit of Don Knotts, my hero Don Knotts.
Here we go. Here we go.
God rest his soul.
Here we go. Do it.
Andy! Now,
every fucking time the crowd goes wild.
And this is my other good friend, Sean Meehan. Acaloids, my friend. Acaloids.
Acaloids, my friend.
Acaloids, my friend.
Acaloids, my friend.
And then my other friend, Ask Lesko.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
No, that's not
that
right.
That is gay, isn't it? That was pretty gay. Sorry.
All right. No. That's not what we got going on here. God damn, you're here, you're back, and you've screwed up the whole rhythm of the show.
Oh, I did. It's my fault.
In a nice way, of course. All right.
So we're going to do the new segment today.
We're going to talk about the Emmys.
Yes.
You had a chance to watch the Emmy Awards.
Did.
I know you watched a chance to watch some of the Emmy Awards. So we'll talk about the Emmys because that's something that's worth talking about,
absolutely.
I think. I need to do an update on what's been going on with this whole Save MSNBC on XM campaign.
Okay.
I got myself almost in a little bit of trouble.
Oh.
I could actually see the lawyers beginning to line up and serve subpoenas. And there are very few jokes that are worth that kind of hassle. And this one ain't one of them. But we're getting hits. Finally, I'm getting some hits on their website.
Good.
So it'll be interesting to talk about that. What I did was, after the show last week, let's see, which was the Friday update? Update number 5. All right, let's see, I'll give you a little tease here. As reported in yesterday's update, coverage of our little campaign to save MSNBC has garnered worldwide attention with journalists from over 137 countries, plus or minus 136, calling to ask, who is Miss MSNBC and what is an XM and does this look infected to you? We're also pleased to report that our efforts will be the subject of a cover story in an upcoming issue of Atlantic Monthly, the actual month to be determined sometime in 2008. On a positive note, random people with articulated digits continue to stumble half-naked and vaguely smelling of obsession and armor-all into our website, weblog, clubhouse over at www.savemsnbconxm.com, where volunteers are waiting with blank powers of attorney and a hot meal. As of today, 282 electronic signatures have been received, almost all with detailed comments. Some show insight, such as Nevada State Senator Bob Coffin. Truly. Who wrote, unbelievable that you dropped the best political coverage in the nation by losing Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann. They're not just news, but interpreters of the news. They force people to speak forthrightly what fools you're becoming. Then I said, some are simply passionate, such as China Bell, who wrote, if you drop a news station, they should drop Fox. Biased, uninteresting news sucks. And some are merely confused, such as Jason Nathanson, who wrote, I like soup. You can, and if you're XM...
Well, that's because he heard the joke earlier and he's going for the soup.
What? I'm going to make you switch seats. You're going to have to sit in the Parvis seat. No, you have to explain that. What?
You just told a joke.
About soup. Oh, super sex. It was a callback.
It was an unintentional callback.
That was nice. I'm sorry.
It was a happy accident.
It was a happy accident. Oops, I did it. But whatever their expression of commitment, one thing is absolutely clear. After a week of pounding the cyber asphalt, we've gotten only 282 signatures. What the fuck is up with that? The hippie kid standing outside the Whole Foods last night asking for signatures to free Nelson Mandela. I didn't have the heart to tell him. Had over 500 signatures and a non-fat soy chai latte that someone had brought him from the Starbucks, a proud partner of XM Satellite Radio. So we need your help in spreading the word. If your XM Satellite Radio would like to ask that you create a promo for our campaign and run it on Channel 130, you can bill us. We're good for the money. If you're a journalist, please give us a little front page exposure and direct folks over to www.saveatmsnbc on xm.com. Come on, it's a slow news day. The guy that did that thing is back in that place and they won't do anything to him until at least Monday. And if you're MSNBC, be brave, be strong. Mommy's just gone to the store for a pack of smokes. She'll be back soon. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Please living.
Listening.
And that too.
Please help us spread the word and remember the battle cry of one faithful who wrote, this is about freedom of the press. No, it's not. It's about money and ego, but mostly money. Courage, Robin Goldstein. So
very
that went
nice.
Out on Friday. I'm having so much, thank you. I'm having so much fun doing these.
Oh,
and and then I did a bunch of stuff over the weekend, which I'll tell you about. And then I wrote another one on Saturday night that got me in a little bit of trouble. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take our first break.
Okay.
The breaks are, I think we'll try to do 5 breaks today. They'll be a little bit longer because last week we talked about how Bob Dylan was complaining that the young people today don't know how to make music anymore and it doesn't sound as good as it used to. It was either Bob Dylan or Andy Rooney.
Right, right.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside of Memphis with these mobile with these Memphis Blues again. I'm Andy Rooney. I think I've gone to the Parvis Vidali School of Broadcasting. So, Bob Dylan released a new album yesterday. Did you know about this?
Yeah.
It's called Modern Times. And the Rolling Stone put him on the cover, which is what Sean was reading from when he said that, you know, Bob Dylan was complaining that the young people today. And in here, they review the album and they give it 5 stars.
Whoa.
The Rolling Stone doesn't give 5 stars
no.
to shit. I mean, that's like an
rare.
Instant classic. Right. And the paragraph starts off, the new Dylan album starts with the voice of God in the mountains and the sound of pistols in the streets. And then it takes it from there.
5 stars. Wow.
So I figured 5 stars, we got to figure out what's going on here. So I went over to the iTunes Music Store. I downloaded, fast tense, the album.
Is it good?
Well, you guys are going to decide for
all
yourself.
Right.
All the music today will be from Dylan's album.
Oh, that's
How's
nice.
That?
That's
all right.
Nice.
All right. Apparently it's perfectly legal because we're a podcast. All right. We'll take a break. We'll play a little bit of Dylan. The first song is the first one on the album that they're talking about. It's Thunder on the Mountain.
Thunder on the Mountain.
Little Dylan.
All right.
Little break.
All
little
right.
back with
All
everyone.
Right.
Parvis, Sherry, Robin, you. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. This is our 25th anniversary episode, and we are all inviting you to cordially please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic. day you're gonna grab my trombone blues. Well, it's hot stuff here, and it's everywhere I go. I was thinking about Alicia Keys. Couldn't keep from crying when she was born in Hell's Kitchen. I was living down the line. I'm wondering where in the world Alicia Keys could be. I've been looking for her even clear through Tennessee. Feel like my soul is beginning to expand. Look into my heart and you will sort of understand. You brought me here, now you're trying to run me away. The writing on the wall, come read it, come see what it says. I'm gonna sleep over there, that's where the music coming from. I don't need any guide, I already know the way. Remember this, I'm your servant both night and day. The pistols are popping and the power's down. I'd like to try something but I'm so far from town. The sun keeps shining and the north wind keeps picking up speed. Forget about myself for a while, go out and see what others need. I've been sitting down studying the art of love. I think it'll fit me like a glove. I want some real good woman to do just what I say. Everybody got to wonder what's the matter with this cruel world today. Stand beside my king. I would betray your love or any other thing. Gonna raise me an army, some tough sons of bitches. I recruit my army from the orphanages. I've been to St. Herman's Church, said my religious vows. I've sucked the milk out of a thousand. She got the pie. She ain't no angel and neither am I. Shame on your greed, shame on your wicked schemes. I'll say this, I don't give a damn about your dreams. Twister burning down on me. All the ladies in Washington are scrambling to get out of town. Look like something bad gonna happen. Better roll your airplane down. Everybody going in, I wanna go too. Don't wanna take a chance with somebody new. I did all I could, I did it right there and then. I've already confessed, no need to confess again. Gonna make a lot of money, gonna go up north. I'll plant and I'll harvest what the earth brings forth. The hammers on the table, the pitchforks on the shelf. For the love of God, God, take pity on yourself. We'll be right back.
feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Frisco!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 21 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. It is our 25th anniversary episode. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney, the episode since Puma and Master Green City Planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. That is the webpage. Robin@schnauzerlogic.com. That is the email address. We're also over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We're over in the iTunes music store. You can always visit us over there and give us a little bit of a rating. We've got a phone number. It is area code 206-666-6540. Use that for leaving us comments, questions, or to send a weekly question for the segment Ask Parviz, which we'll be playing a little bit later on.
Well, before we move on, was that song, Bob Dylan's song, worthy of 5 stars?
Well, that's a good question. What do you think?
Well, I didn't know you were going to play the whole album. I thought it was just one song. That was just one. Oh.
Oh, you're very good. You're very good.
I thought he's playing the whole album.
Now you can't do it.
I don't even know. But that was a long song.
It was a long fucking song. Oh. I was telling these guys during the break that every song that I pulled today, I pulled there's 10 songs on the album, and it's a 2-hour album. That's what's so amazing. 10 songs, 2 albums, no waiting. No, each song is like 6 minutes long. That was 5 minutes and 55 seconds, then 602, 653, 544. He's old, and it takes him a long time to say what he needs to say. Whereas Blink 182, 2 minutes, in and out, boom, boom, that's it. That's it between a young man and an old man.
That's right, that's right.
A young man and an old man.
That's right.
You get what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? A young man and an old man. A young, all right, there you go. That's what's going on. All right, so I'm going to read another one of these things. So before the break, I mentioned that we were over on Save MSNBC on XM.com. I've been sending out mail. So I sent that out on Friday. By the way, I'm getting no responses to any of this shit. That's what I think is so interesting about this stuff. And each time I send one of these messages out, I've mentioned I send out longer and longer to lists. They're all blind copied, so nobody knows who's getting them. But it's up to close to 100 people now. I just keep adding more folks whenever I see anybody online make a mention of the petition. Not the website, but the petition, which has about 430 signatures. Or what. I add them thinking, well, they may be a sympathetic listener, you know. And so that'll be somebody who want to receive it. Nothing. Saturday, went to see the Giants play, which was terrific. Had a lot of fun. And I came back and I thought I needed to do an update. So I did at about 11 o'clock at night on Saturday. I sent another update, a quick update. It says, good morning. This is a brief weekend update on our campaign to save MSNBC on XM. First, we want to thank the hundreds of new volunteers who have stepped up to help with our campaign. Through the assistance of a, quote, unnamed source, we have managed to get the names, email addresses, and phone numbers of the entire XM subscriber base. And our volunteers are contacting each and every one of them to ask for their support, engage their unhappiness with the current and past programming decisions at XM. Second, though equally unnamed source has informed us that Sirius Satellite Radio, the little doggy company, has learned of the phenomenal unhappiness expressed by XM's listening base and is in secret discussions to, quote, flip the switch and go live with MSNBC the moment XM pulls the plug, with a special promotional campaign being developed to grab every MSNBC XM subscriber possible. Finally, while we were obviously kidding about the Atlantic Monthly article in our last update, media writers from a number of trade publications are currently gathering background for a special series on the current state of satellite radio in the U.S. and the responsiveness of the programmers to their subscribers. And there's more, but we need to keep a few secrets so you won't read the next update. Enjoy the weekend. Summer is fast coming to a close. Spend as much time with your family and friends as you can. With kindest regards, Robin Goldstein, Chairwoman. So I sent that out at around... When did I send that out? I sent that out at 9:30 on Saturday night. Almost immediately, I got back an email from the guy. You know about.com? Your website about.com? Yeah. You know, shaking your head on radio,
sorry.
Never good.
Uh-huh.
I know you're agreeing with me. Okay. You're still new. It's all right. We'll give you a little time. Parviz used to do the same thing. Actually, he used to... We sort of got him out of that. Yeah, no problems. So about.com is now owned by the New York Times. It was kind of a place where you could find information. So they have like photography.about.com, cooking.about.com, sex.about.com, politics.about.com, and they have radio.about.com. So I sent this to the guy who manages radio.about.com, thinking, hey, this is a perfect opportunity. New York Times, maybe I can get a little in. It'll kind of get spread out. A little viral marketing. The whole idea of a virus, though, is it's supposed to latch on to the host without actually killing it. This is what he writes to me.
Shortly after you sent...
Within 15 minutes.
Okay.
Within 15 minutes of me sending this out, he writes to me. He quotes that I say, "We have managed to get the names, addresses, and phone numbers of the entire subscriber base, and our volunteers are contacting each one of them, blah, blah, blah." And he says to me, "Don't you think this is an invasion of XM subscribers' privacy? I would never publicize anyone using this tactic. Take me off your mailing list." Asshole. So I wrote back to him. He says, "Don't you think this is an invasion of privacy?" And I wrote back, "Absolutely. Unreasonable and counterproductive as well. Plus, can you imagine how long it would take to call 7 million people? Or how much it would call? How much it would cost? Even with friends and family." "I would never publicize anyone using this tactic." I wrote, "I respect that." "Take me off your mailing list." "Of course. My apologies for filling your inbox with silliness." But I thought to myself, 7 million. I mean, I think that's the problem with big numbers, right? The power of big numbers is nobody knows what the fuck that means. I was thinking how long it would take to call 7 million. First of all, how much it would cost, right? Let's assume that I could make the calls for 10 cents a call. Right? 7 million calls would cost me $700,000. Let's assume I could make them for a penny a call. That's still $70,000. And how long would it take people to call 7 million people? I mean, it was so crazy.
Let's go. Those are questions you should have for Part B's.
How long will it take?
So here's the thing, though. I'm such a puss about this stuff. No, it's true. I am such a puss that when this thing came in on Saturday night after I wrote back to him and I thought I felt very clever, I thought, oh, shit, like I have to make sure people know this is a joke. Because immediately, being a corporate lawyer, the first thing I thought is somewhere there are corporate lawyers. They're already drafting a complaint. They've got to put, you know, they're gonna come in. They're going to seize my computer. You know, they're going to seize my assets. So like, no, this is just a joke. It's just me. We don't have 100. They haven't been 100 people through this apartment, you know. God. Well, you know who turned me, you know who's been sort of there are two people who have kind of been pushing me to continue doing this. One of them is our friend Sean, who we're going to try to talk to a little bit today.
Okay.
And the other one is a guy that you guys know very well. Let's see if we can give you a little clue about who he is.
Yeah.
All right, it wasn't the smoothest segue, but it wasn't bad. We'll listen to this song here.
Well, he sneaks around the world from Vienna to Carolina. Sticky fingered Filcher from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world? The bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
That's right. You know him, you love him, you can't get enough of him. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Jason Nathanson. I understand he likes soup.
I do. I love it. I eat it all the time.
Well, you've been kind of pushing me on this stuff because you write kind of absurdist pieces as well. And I just thought to myself, you know what?
Or the truth about my life.
Well, they can be one and the same.
Right.
They can be one and the same. Jason Nathanson, the last time we spoke to you, you were sitting across from me next to
Parviz.
Was he sitting next to you?
Yes, he was.
But Sherry wasn't here that day.
No.
Somehow I forgot you.
Remember we were the double-breasted women?
Yeah, now I remember it. Now I remember why I forgot it. So you're back in Los Angeles.
Yes. Back in the armpit of L.A., known as the San Fernando Valley.
What's going on in your life? What have you been doing to keep busy? What's happening?
Well, I got back about a week ago and slept for about a week and sat there and did nothing. Fell into deep depression trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. Until I figured, you know what? I'm in L.A. for the first time ever without a job in my adult life, and I should take advantage of all the things you can do in L.A. So I went on the Price is Right website last night and to see if there are tickets available. And lo and behold, there were tickets available for today. So I went to the Price is Right taping this morning.
Wow, very cool. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. And, dun, dun, yeah, exactly. I can't get that damn song out of my head.
Do they play it over and over again?
Oh, they play it over and over, and people are singing it in the hallways, and it's like a cult there.
Well, what was that experience like?
Well, you get there, you look on the email, and it says that they start giving out the priority tickets at 6 a.m., right, between 6 and 8 a.m.
Holy shit.
And anybody who's ever done anything in L.A. involving any kind of tickets or taping knows that if it says it starts at 6 a.m., people are going to be lined up right at 6 a.m., and that's your best chance to do this. So I got up at 5 o'clock this morning and made my way down to the CBS studios, and I got there right at 6:05, and I got my priority ticket. I was number 108. There's already 108 people ahead of me at 6 in the morning. Some people had slept there since 10 o'clock last night.
Wouldn't there have been 107 people ahead of you? I'm just...
Oh, 107, yes. Okay. You're better math than I. That's what you're from.
What does it mean, priority sitting? Does that mean that you might be called up to be part of the show?
It's all a scam, because then at 6 o'clock you get your priority ticket, and then you have to come back at 8 o'clock to get your regular ticket. Now, when you get the priority ticket, that just means that you've got a high number for your regular ticket. So I go back at 8 o'clock, and I get my regular ticket, and they sign me in, and now one person had left, so I'm 107. And then you have to come back at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then that's when they start the kind of whole contestant thing. They check everybody in. There's 325 audience members. And so you have to come back and check in three different times, now starting at 6 in the morning. And the taping isn't until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
So you basically have to kill a whole day if you're going to do this.
It's like a job, Jason.
Yeah. It's like a bad job, actually. It's not even a good job.
6 to 2:30,
like
that's
really
a job.
Yeah, really.
You're maybe going to get paid for it. You're maybe going to get paid for it that day, but you have a 9 in 300 shot of getting paid for it.
Are you at least working with tin snips?
So nobody knows that they're getting called? Nobody knows that they're getting called until the guy...
No, and I did a little research online to find out, like, how you get in and, you know, the best ways to make yourself presentable to the people who pick the contestants. So
you grew breasts and changed the skin color. What? Huh? Oh, that was cold. What? Huh? I can't hear you.
At 10 o'clock, you start lining up, and so you're sitting with 300 people. Now, these are 300 people, which I don't know if you've ever seen The Price is Right, but... The audience that it attracts is very, let's just say, I don't know, trailer park.
No. This is Blue States.
What was that?
Are you still there?
Why
was the phone calls we had with you on your cell phone sound cleaner than the phone on the landline?
Does it really?
A little bit, yeah.
Come back to that next time.
All right. I said Blue States. I said this is kind of a blue state phenomenon, right? Middle of the country.
Yes. It's a very blue state show, and people show up in their shirts, you know, saying "I love Bob" and "Bob, it's our 25th anniversary. Send us up, you know, to be a contestant with you." And there's groups of people, like from UCLA. There's a group of people. There was a group of 20 hula dancers from some hula dancing club, and those are the people who usually get picked. One person from one of the big groups,
right?
And there's lots of meth addicts there, and you know, drunk, loud. It's the worst representation of America. So you're sitting there in the sun with all these people, and then they start to call you in groups of 12, and you meet with one of the show's producers.
You go through a metal detector?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay. This good times.
after you meet with the producer. So the producer...
The one nobody's shivving, old Bob Barker there.
All you have to do is yell boo at him, and I think he'll keel over. I don't think you need a knife. So you meet with the producer, and they ask you, you know, your name, where you're from, what you do for a living, and this is your kind of chance to impress them, and it goes really quickly. So if you don't impress them, chances are, you know, you're done.
You dry. So you made shit up.
Well, that's what some people were telling me to do.
Oh, yeah.
The stuff I read online was basically that you have to be a young, attractive woman. They like women a lot better because men tend to fake enthusiasm and women tend to be really enthusiastic. So they go with women more often.
Or they're just better at faking it.
So they ask me what I do, and I say, well, I'm a blogger.
Jack Bauer's story got finished in 24 hours, you know. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. No. So you're being interviewed.
I tell them I'm a blogger and I travel around the country in a VW van, and that kind of gets weird, but looks, but you know, a little funny attention. And they seem to like me. They smile to me, and then they bring you everybody into the studio, and then they start the warm up thing where they just, you know, they basically tell you to yell and scream and clap for Bob and stand up, and there's this whole cult around Bob Barker, basically, they're trying to create.
Oh yeah.
And so you're screaming and you're up and down and clapping, and then Bob comes out and everybody goes wild, and then you're basically sitting there for the next 60 minutes waiting for them to call your name.
Does he look like a corpse?
He looks old, but you know what? He's really funny and he's really good at what he does. I mean, he's been doing this he's been on TV now, they said, for 50 years.
He's good at what he does. This is a job. He stands there for 20 minutes, half an hour?
He's good at it, though. He works the audience.
Oh, he's good at that.
Really,
yeah. Okay.
He's funny, and he gets a lot of respect, and people just love him. You know, especially the Midwestern housewives and stuff. They just they fall all over themselves.
All right.
So they call the first couple people up, and you're like, you're clapping for them, but secretly you're pissed that it's not you. And then they go through the little games, and you know, you're waiting for your name, and you're waiting for your name, and you're kind of watching these stupid people guess on the prices and all that stuff. And
lower,
kind of
lower,
fun.
Higher, higher.
Yeah. And you can't hear anything because Bob's mic is so low, I guess, to cut out the audience noise from the taping. So you can't hear Bob. And so everybody's yelling around you. You have no idea what's going on. And the studio, of course, is a lot smaller. They always say that about everything on TV, but the studio is a lot smaller than you think it is. It seems like the contestants run forever when they're on TV, when they're going down, when they're coming on down. But it's really about 10 feet. And so then the first woman, she wins a car, and everybody's going crazy. And then the next few people lose, and then they get through the rest of the contestants. They do the showcase showdown, they never called my name. And the last person's name that they called, there's like a smattering of clapping in the audience because everybody just realized that was their last chance to get called. And everybody's pissed at that person. And then you know, it's basically over. And
I think with that story, you're ready for Letterman. That you've got your story for the couch, my friend. Letterman, Leto, you're ready. Even you could be on Conan at this point with that story. You got your story for the couch.
They haven't called yet. So one of these
are the women that present the showcase. Are they beautiful?
Yes, Barker's beauties are very lovely, and one of them looked just like Jessica Simpson. Very hot. Very hot.
Is Bob Barker, like, neutering any pets during the commercials?
No, he wasn't. That would have added a lot to the show, though.
It would if he was, like, one of his pets, like, Spread Eagle. Well, he's such an advocate. You know, spay and neuter all your pets. Don't piss me off. I'm Bob Barker.
I think it's spay.
That was the time of the show where we spay
and neuter
animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say I'd never heard that. I was wondering what the connection was.
Yeah, every day after show. That's his little sign-off.
Okay.
He used to have Barker out. But now it's just the whole pet thing.
So do
and
you
the showcase showdown packages really sucked. I mean, I haven't really watched the show in a long time. And I don't know if they used to always suck, but I mean, they were really bad. The first woman got a portable DVD player, a freezer, a huge industrial sized freezer, and a trailer, like a 25-foot trailer. But there was no car to go with the trailer.
That makes sense to me.
To tow the trailer.
That's the kind of stuff you'd give a serial killer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the serial killer.
Found in the freezer.
Yeah, that's the Jeffrey Dahmer prize package. So are you going back down tomorrow? Is that what we're hearing? Is that what you guys are telling
us? Yeah, exactly. It's a full-time job. I mean, you know, you're there at 6 in the morning, and you leave around 3:30, 4 o'clock. And you don't win anything.
All right, now listen, we want to snap you into shape. I understand that you're a little depressed because you're off that big buzzed up high from driving cross country. You know, you got the diesel fumes of the big rigs, you know, sucking in through the window of the VW van, and that becomes addictive. I get that, but you, my friend, you like soup.
I do. You have a job offer involving soup?
We may. So what about writing? What about little daily kind of snippets, kind of like Sex in the City, like but like Jason in the City, right? Like this is Jason's.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I'm trying to get out there and, you know, motivate and see parts of L.A. that I've never seen before.
Or write about being depressed. Write about being a single guy in Los Angeles living in your parents' basement.
Yeah.
You know what they say? They say, write what you know. Write what you know.
Well, now I'll write about The Price is Right, because I know a little bit about that.
That's my point, exactly. All right.
Yeah, so I'm trying to make, you know, things and stuff to do while I'm down here and currently on.
We want to see you being creative. You're one of the smartest, funniest guys that we know.
No, well, thank you.
That's yeah. Nice. All right. And thanks for signing the petition.
I blindly do what people ask.
You don't have XM satellite.
I didn't even know what it was for.
There you go. All right. All right, terrific. So, big weekend plans for the big holiday weekend?
Is it a holiday?
Yeah, it's Labor Day, my friend. It's the end of the summer.
He's not observerving Labor Day any day. So that doesn't really apply to him.
I see. He's a reformed Jew. Do you celebrate the first day of Labor Day or just the second day of Labor Day?
All 8 days of Labor Day. I light a candle every night.
All right. Well, listen, we love you. We're thinking about you. We want to see creative stuff out of you, my friend. If only to entertain the 1,000 listeners of our show. I mean, let's be honest. At the end of the day, I'm fucking selfish. This is all about me and making sure that people love me. And if you're funny, they love me.
I'll try to do what I can to make them love you even more.
That's all we're asking. All right, my friend. Hey, listen, thank you so very much. We'll talk to you hopefully next week, all right?
Sounds good.
See you later, Jason.
Are you on KSCO, by the way, tomorrow?
Yes, I will be on KSCO tomorrow morning.
At 6:45? All right, we'll catch that. And you still got the blog over at therandomshow.blogspot.com, right?
I do.
Outstanding.
Jason, tomorrow on your radio show on...
Wait, who's asking a question? Is that Robin?
That's Parviz.
Or was that Sean?
That's Parviz.
Oh, Parviz. Oh, I couldn't tell by your questioning style. Yes, go ahead.
All right, so we got 16 seconds left. We'll be back on the other side of Mall Bob Dylan. Stick around, my friends. Stick around.
Around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Well, I ain't gonna touch another one for years. Coming in, the buds are on the vine. The warm weather's coming, the buds are on the vine. Ain't nothing more depressing than trying to satisfy this woman of mine. I got up this morning, saw the rising sun.
Flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 49 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Parvis Vitali.
Son of Easter Robin. Son of Easter Robin.
Why is it that you cough like the moment before you? Is it a nervous kind of thing, or you
I don't know? I don't think about
you do it like every time. Like I turn all the mics on, and then like the moment I turn the mic on, you turn your head, you put your head into your armpit,
yeah,
and then you sniff once, and then you cough. I understand why you cough after you sniff, but
I don't know. That's true. I should be coughing during the breaks. But
I would think.
I don't feel the need.
That last song you had 12 minutes to cough. You could have coughed up a fucking lung over
there. You know what was sad about the last song? That was actually a continuation of the first one.
And Sherry Stevens, Son of Easter. All right, I want to finish the update here on the whole Save MSNBC
yes.
on XM.com thing. All right. So that was, I read to you what I sent out over the weekend. I got that
Correct.
One nasty gram from that guy. And I have a blog at SaveMSNBC on XM.com. There's a blog where it's kind of like the what's going on behind the scenes. So I'll send out these bizarre little emails. And then on the blog, it's like, here's what I just sent out to people. What doofuses. You know, it's like one is the ego and one is the it. It's this running back and forth thing. So this one I thought was, let's see, yes, okay. So this is the one I sent out last night. I was very, very proud of this one.
Okay.
This was very, very proud. This one also went out last night at 9:01 p.m. It says, good morning. I love that little joke. As those of you who have been getting the daily emails know, of course, we haven't been sending them out daily. I've only sent out four of them in like the course of a week, but that's all right. As those of you who have been getting our daily emails know, our campaign has been engaged in quite a bit of controversy. Over this past weekend, we secured what we believe to be the names, phone numbers, and email addresses of every XM subscriber, and our bank of volunteers began the process of contacting each of them to ask for their support in our drive to save MSNBC on XM. Unfortunately, somewhere in the 10th hour of our telephone marathon, or phonemathon, we began to realize that the list we had secured was not a list of phone numbers, but a list of part numbers from the inventory of Manny Moe and Jack, also known as the Pep Boys, who also used 10 digits to differentiate the exhaust manifold wing nuts from a 1973 Plymouth Reliant from the barium-injected water clips on a 2006 Hyundai Mazera. The volunteers continued to call for another 5 hours after discovering the error, but their hearts weren't into it. Eventually, they had to stop. Fortunately, the cause has taken on its own momentum, fueled in part by the bloggers and writers from Inside Radio and the San Diego Radio News, as well as Media Bistro, Lost Remote, and The Daily Cause. Those are all true, by the way. They all picked up little bits of the story. And as of Tuesday, August 29th, 2006, we have managed to collect 10,000 signatures. An amazing and unexpected accomplishment, to be sure, especially considering that the number was closer to 400 only yesterday. But we checked and checked again, and sure enough, as of right now, we have 10,000 signatures. Unfortunately, a bug in the software at www.petitionspot.com makes it appear that there's only about 420 signatures. Dude. Which is pretty damn good considering we started this petition drive about a week ago. But despite what the webpage says, our independent auditors can confirm that as of today, we have received 10,000 signatures. Now, I know that some of the more skeptical members of the media are saying, hey, Robin, how do we know that you aren't lying to us about the 10,000 signatures? Which is an excellent question. And to them, I can only reply, candy! Look, look, it's candy! But here's the real problem we're facing. And we need your help. No, really! Yesterday, I attempted to fax 300 more signatures that we had and comments that we had received up to that point before we jumped all the way to 10,000 signatures and found that the fax number at XM was busy from about 10 a.m. well into the evening. Now, I'm certainly willing to print out the pages with the 10,000 signatures and mailed them to XM's headquarters, but I was hoping to be able to fax the updates directly to XM so that the decision makers could read what each of the signers had to say before they pull the plug. If anyone knows a way to make the folks to make sure the folks at XM get a copy of all the pages, please let us an email. You see, I've rarely been involved in this kind of grassroots venture. I customize poodles for a living and have been genuinely touched by the comments in the 10,000 signatures. If you go to the Petition Spot site, you can read some of those that have been posted. And if you do, you'll see that MSNBC is not just another news outlet. Very few people are commenting on the news updates, but instead are loyal fans of the hosts of the different talk shows. Talk shows that cannot be heard anywhere else, but cable TV, something that almost no one has in their car or office. We're finding out something important here, and those 10,000 of us who are fond of our XM radios continue to hope that XM will find out, too. In the meantime, we could use as much exposure as possible, if not to change XM's mind, then to help another outlet see the intrinsic and unique value in MSNBC, especially as we come up on the midterm elections and regardless of whether or not you think Olbermann is funny. We have not yet begun to fight, but we're well along the road to making shit up. With kindest regards, Robin Goldstein, chairwoman. So that went out yesterday night. So I'm pretty pleased with myself as what I've been doing here.
You're on a crusade.
Well, you know what's interesting about this whole thing is I think we are each of us in our own way the captives of corporations, right? These large faceless organizations that make decisions that affect our lives in little ways. I mean, quite frankly, if I lose this channel off my XM radio, my life does not change in any substantial way, right? I'll be a little teeny weeny little bit less happy. Because when I'm driving around, I listen to the programming in the afternoon. If I'm coming home from work or I'm doing errands, I like to listen to Olbermann. I like to listen to Chris Matthews. I like to listen to those programs. And if I can't get them, I'll have to find something else. Right? And so there'll be a little bit less happiness, maybe replaced by something else. Hard to say. But what I realize is that these large corporations make decisions on the basis of what they think is the right thing to do. And there frequently is no input to the process. I can't tell you the number of products that I like that have been pulled from the shelves of supermarkets,
for example, or Target or any of the other stores where you can't get them anymore. We were talking during the break about the diet soda we're drinking, this Pepsi One, which is a one-calorie soda, and you asked why it was different than the diet Pepsi, and I said that's because this uses Splenda. The Pepsi One that comes in the plastic bottles tastes better than the Pepsi One that comes in the can. I'm sure there's something about the carbonic acid that reacts with the lining, and they're not spending $1,000 a can to coat them with some kind of ceramic-coated can. So there's a slight reaction that occurs, and it has a little bit of a flavor, whereas the plastic bottles taste better. Somebody decided they weren't going to sell plastic bottles anymore, and so you can't find plastic bottles in the store. A couple of places still have like a few plastic bottles, but you can't buy them in bulk. You can't buy cases. Same thing with my favorite chicken, the soy chicken patties and the flatbreads and all the things that I like. Somebody decides they don't want it anymore. I told you about the flosser that I use, this little flossing thing. Have I mentioned that to you? No?
No.
I use a, unlike you, I'm not a real man or even a man at all, apparently. But I'm not a real man, and so I don't like wrap the floss around my finger and then, put it between the cheeks of my gums. And I mean, I use a little flosser from GOM, and it had a little handle on it so that I could reach into the back of my mouth and maneuver this thing around. Somebody at GOM decided that they needed to save some money, I guess, because the handles were too long and there was too much plastic. And so if they made the handles shorter, they'd be using less plastic. And so maybe over the course of, 100,000 units, they could get another, 1,000 units every 100,000. Well, that's 1%. That's pretty good, right? If you could get a 1% boost, 1% return on your investment higher, you would do that. So they made the handle shorter.
Sure.
Okay, the problem with that is I can't reach into the back of my mouth anymore.
You need a child's hand to put in your mouth.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And although I have that when I brush my teeth at night, where am I going to find that at 6 in the morning? That's all I'm saying.
Because they're still tuckered out.
That's all I'm saying. Exactly.
They're still way tuckered out.
Exactly.
They don't get up till like 8:30.
Exactly.
Get up, Cindy. You gotta floss my teeth.
I'm tired, Parvies. I'm tired.
On the brink of a nervous breakdown.
And you know what those kids will do?
It'll clean you right out and put you in a much better mood.
Exactly.
And take off your bracelet, sweetie. You.
All right.
Oh, that's shit.
You're always cutting my lip.
Okay, fine. Wow. We're doing like two shows here simultaneously, aren't we? I got my show. You got your show. It's too bad we're not in stereo. And so what I'm trying to accomplish with this process, and I don't know how successful I'm going to be. In fact, I have a pretty good sense that I'm not going to have any success with this whatsoever. But I think that no one expected there to be any response. In fact, on the little bulletin boards that I've posted some of this stuff on, people are like, oh, you'd be lucky to get 100 signatures. And there's about 450 as of today. So that's a little bit over a week. That's not bad. Considering
not bad.
There's no real publicity to get 450 people to come over and sign up for that, that's not bad. That probably represents a few thousand people, maybe 5,000, maybe 10,000. Well, 10,000 listeners out of 7 million subscribers, that may not be a bad idea because people listen to a few stations, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not listening to all 150 stations. I mean, that kind of splits up, right? So I think they're making a mistake. But the fact that nobody at XM has written back to me, and it's not my ego. It's not like, oh, I want you to pay attention to me. It's like, listen, there are decisions we've made and we're not changing our minds about this. Nothing. I get zero. And the fact that their fax machine is busy 24/7, I mean, it's not like they're able to block me because I'm using a fax service, so they don't know where the hell a call is coming from. It's not like it says, Goldstein, Goldstein, Goldstein. That's not what's happening here. So I just think that it feels like a voice in the wilderness, and maybe it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You know what I mean?
But oh, it's making a difference.
It feels like it's the right thing to do nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so... do you have experiences like that? Are there things that you've, sort
are
of...
passionate about that
yeah,
I would...
Yeah, and then they go away and... you ever sign a petition?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I did to get this guy out of my way so I can go to my car.
Say, I'll need to get into the grocery store.
Yeah. Would you please sign our petition? We're just trying to save some trees.
Oh, I see.
Like, yeah, sure. What do you need? What are you a registered voter? No. Oh, okay. Oh, that's all I have to say is no? All right. And right when they say, I'm not a registered voter. Oh, okay. Move on. Like, oh, that's how you get out of it.
Very nice.
Very nice. You know, the whole supermarket thing that you were referring to earlier about there, always getting rid of your stuff. It's well, there is a reason.
It used to be a supermarket. Yeah, what's the reason?
The reason is there's only so much space on a shelf, and whatever doesn't sell, they have to boot out of there, and they have to try something else. So a lot of times your favorite stuff, just wasn't a hot seller.
So you're saying that I have the kind of narrow taste that wouldn't be in the top?
No, you are exactly like every customer I ever dealt with. Every single customer, you're always getting rid of my stuff. Really, your stuff. You ordered this. You pay for yourself. Really?
Well, yes, of course. Really? Of course I pay for it myself.
That's why you would see some things will never leave. Like, I don't know, what other frozen meal is there? Like a Healthy Choice or a
I know, but it means that in every aspect of our life, we're always being led by the lowest common denominator, that there's no opportunity for...
Money talks. It really does. Because when Marie Callender's comes around and they have a new item, they're going to bump somebody out of the way to stick their beautiful product on the shelf. Mother's Cookies is the same way. If you look down a cookie aisle, Mother's Cookie takes up a huge space,
and there's shit cookies.
And you know what? And they pay for those. They pay for those shelves. They pay for the center shelves, which are the eye level shelves. Are usually the hot shelves. So they'll put the best product on the eye level. Nobody rarely bends down and rarely reaches high. So everything in the middle, you'll see the best products usually in the middle. And Mother's Cookies.
What do you mean best
products? Not the best products.
What do you mean the best products?
Best marketed products.
That's a difference. I think Sherry's got it right on the money there. It's the best marketed, not necessarily the best selling. Are you telling me that Mother's sells more cookies than Nabisco?
No, but if
bingo,
they, but
bingo,
no,
I rest my case.
I have no idea who's
your witness.
No, no, but I'm telling you, if Mother's,
which, la, 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 I'm not listening.
If they
la,
shell
la,
out more la, money, la, they'll la, get more la, of a la, shelf la, space.
They'd sell less cookies if they didn't get into that prime spot.
When I was working the dairy and I had a dead item, I would shift it to the center shelf, move the great one, and that one always sold.
I could smell the dead item when you... Wait a second, but what you just said doesn't make any sense to me, all
Nothing
right?
Nothing I ever say makes sense to you.
That's true, but in this case, this time for sure.
But he's passionate about something, so let him go with it.
All right, but you said to me the thing that you like, that was not a big seller. And it's like, well, wait a second, what is the big seller? You go, Mother's Cookies. I go, you're telling me Mother's Cookies is selling more than Nabisco? No.
Well,
But they're paying more money. So which is it? Do you guys make the decision simply on the number of units that are moving out, or can people kind of goose the averages, right? A little payola here to get the center shelf. Exactly.
Payola. It's payola. And I'll tell you
payola.
Why. You know when you go to supermarket, down the shelf or down the aisle, you have all your food, but at the end of the aisle, you have like the hot items.
The end cap.
They'll have like the toilet paper, the Mother's Cookies, this Pepsi. Pepsi pays for that end cap. Pepsi's the one that says, we want that end cap. Okay, so you pay somebody and they get the end cap and they get more exposure. It's all in the money. It's whoever pays more.
It's all about marketing.
So your garden burgers from Miss...
What makes you think I eat garden burgers? You calling me a fag vegetarian?
No, I smelled your farts. Your garden burgers...
Here he goes again.
Don't give me that one eye look. Your garden burgers, Mrs. Vay's garden burgers.
Mrs. who?
Mrs. Vay's.
I don't know who she is.
I don't know either. That's my point. Nobody knows who she is. Nobody buys those garden burgers. Nobody buys them. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying whatever's popular, that's whatever puts more money into advertising, that's who's going to get the shelf space.
It's not whatever's popular. That's my point. XM has 150 channels. You're telling me that more people listen to C-SPAN than listen to MSNBC?
I have no idea.
No, of course not. More people listen to the Weather Channel audio rebroadcast on a satellite radio system?
Well, there are people that work outdoors. There are people that have lives outdoors. And yeah, there are probably a billion people out there that need to know the weather at every possible moment.
Okay, first of all, there's only 7 million subscribers. So we're not talking about a billion people out there that need to know the weather. Second of all, if you are outdoors, the weather is not one of those things that you need to hear about on a satellite radio.
God, you have an answer for everything. I could never debate
I'm almost looking forward to the next Bob Dylan song.
Wow. Wow. Whoa. Burn, dude. Wow.
Not a word out of Sherry, but when she talks, it hurts.
Wow.
Wow.
All right.
I want to hear another 5-star.
Play the 6-minute one.
You need to go to the bathroom?
Uh-huh.
Okay, fine.
How could you tell?
I'm going to rotate my tires. I'll be right back.
Well, there's a 10-minute oil change place down the street.
Oh, I'll be right back.
So
I'll be 4 minutes late.
Okay. All right, we'll play a long one. This is called Nettie Moore. The last one was called Rollin' and Tumblin'. And this one's called Nettie Moore. All right?
All right.
All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic.
We're going to talk Emmys when we come back.
We'll talk Emmys when we come back. Because I've got no more MSNBC stuff to do, so we got to talk Emmys when we get back.
And I'm petering out on my passion.
Andy! All right, stick around. We'll be back on the other side, my friends. Stick around.
think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
John sitting on a railroad track. Something's out of whack. Blues this morning falling down like hail. Gonna leave a greasy trail. Gonna travel the world is what I'm gonna do. Then come back and see you. All I ever do is struggle and strive. If I don't do anybody any harm, I might make it back home alive. I'm the oldest son of a crazy man. I'm in a cowboy band. Got a pile of sins to pay for and I ain't got time to hide. I'd walk through a blazing fire, baby, if I knew you was on the other side. Oh, I miss you, little boy. And my happiness is over. Winter's gone, the river's all rise. I loved you then, and ever shall. But there's no one left in town. The world has gone black before my eyes. While the world of research has gone berserk, too much paperwork. Albert's in the graveyard, Frank is raising hell. I'm beginning to believe what the scriptures tell. I'm going where the Southern Cross is the yellow dog. Get away from these demagogues and his bad luck women stick like glue. It's either one or the other, but neither of the two. She say, look out, daddy, don't want you to tear your pants. You could get wrecked in this dance. They say whiskey'll kill you, but I don't think it will. I'm riding with you to the top of the hill. Oh, I miss you, little boy. And my happiness is over. Winter's gone, the river's on the rise. I loved you then, and ever shall. But there's no one left in a town. The world has gone black before my eyes. Don't know why my baby never looks so good before. Don't have to wonder no more. She been cooking all day, gonna take me all night. I can't eat all that stuff in a single bite. The judge is coming in, everybody rise. Lift up your eyes. What you please, you don't need my advice. For you call me any dirty names, you better think twice. Getting light outside, the temperature dropped. I think the rain has stopped. I'm gonna make you come to grips with fate. When I'm through with you, you'll learn to keep your business straight. Oh, I miss you, Nettie Moore. And my happiness is yours. Winter's gone, the river's on the rise. I loved you then, and ever shall. But there's no one left in the town. The world has gone black before my eyes. The bright spark of the steady lights has dimmed my sights. When you're around me, all my grief gives way. A lifetime with you is like some heavenly day. Everything I've ever known to be right has been proven wrong. I'll be drifting along. The woman on my loving, she rules my heart. No knife could ever cut our love apart. Today I'll stand in faith and raise the voice of praise. The sun is strong, I'm standing in the light. I wish to God that it were night. Oh, I miss you, Lady Moore. And my happiness is o'er. Winter's gone, the river's on the rise. I loved you then, and ever shall. But there's no one here left to tell. The world has gone black before my eyes.
Into the second hour, Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 25. Robin Goldstein, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian attorney, boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. That was a very short road story today. You know, we just goofed around. I don't think we have time to play a road story today because
Bobby took all our time.
That was only he took all our time. He took the will to live. He took sapped all the energy out of the room, all the air, all the oxygen.
You know, what would make his album a 6-star album. I'll tell you right now, if he could cover Plumber's the Man, he's the perfect person to do that.
Plumber is the man.
Plumber is the man.
Now, are you thinking more like Electric Dylan covering that?
No,
or
that same tempo from the last song.
Plumber is the man.
I mean, I think it's like kind of a book. And then I realized that was just like the original Roger Miller version of the Hamster Dance song. Dee do 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 do.
I'm expecting any moment during the song to hear Shotgun. Like anyhow, the producer, it's just taking stuff out.
www.schnauzerlogic.com. Well, listen, I mean, Rolling Stone, as you mentioned during the break, Rolling Stone gave this 5 stars.
That is unreal. Unreal. Right?
And the review in the latest issue of Rolling Stone is laudatory about the genius of Dylan. But that's the thing about performers. I think, as you know, certainly as a performer, both a musician and a stand-up comedian, when the audience knows you, there's a different standard for what the expectations are and how you're graded. If they don't know you, and that's true in the working world too,
yeah,
right? I mean, that's always the case, right? There's a different standard for rating or grading someone whose work you have no idea about than you do for someone whose work you do know. It kind of gets averaged in.
Yeah, you expect something from Dylan, so when you hear the album, it's either meets your expectation or not.
But
no, that's not my point at all.
Oh.
That's not even close to my point.
No.
Is the expectation he gets five stars because he's still writing music, or is it?
I think that's part of it, right? It's like when the Stones record, right? The Stones are like, oh my God, the Stones! And in our minds, right, in the minds of the writer, I think they're still thinking about the Stones in their 20s and in their 30s. I mean, not that the latest Stones... I mean, this is not a bad album. That's a long song. I mean, we chose one because you needed to, you know, drain the...
Whoa, Sherry.
I have no snake.
I was talking to you, Parthies.
I didn't drain any snake.
Oh,
well, good for Bob.
Isn't snake a plumber's term? Don't you use snakes?
No, snake's the snake on the plane. That's all I got.
Keep going. All right. Forward momentum. All right.
Bob Dylan, yes.
Okay. All right. During the break, I took a look, and somebody who works at MSNBC signed a petition. I said, I sent a quick email, and I said, would you be willing to come on the podcast and talk about what you do in MSNBC and whether people know what's going on there? You know, could you do that anonymously? So I said I would not mention their name, so I didn't. I'm not telling you who they are or anything like that, but we'll see. Maybe we'll look during the next break, and maybe there'll be a response. Maybe we'll get somebody on the line. If not, maybe next week.
You gave her a number?
No, I sent an email. We'll see if I get a response.
Okay.
Should have just given a random person a phone number?
Yeah, give me your phone number.
It's a good idea.
And then,
should I stop the podcast now? Should I turn this podcast around?
Play another Dylan song. We got time.
All right. I don't know if we're going to get to the road story today, though. But the thing is, Parviz, because you're a fairly swarthy individual, you turned white when you heard just this opening. It's just like...
Road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Because I just settled in. I sat down.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
I love Brian Cox, but Brian Cox and Bob Dylan together.
We got to get Brian back on this show.
33 minutes of fun.
But that was so great. We finished the Dylan song. We finished the Dylan song, and it was just like...
Road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
He has a great name, though. You got to admit that. Brian Cox.
All right, the Emmys. You wanted to talk about the Emmys.
Yes.
You're putting off doing Ask Parviz.
No, not at all. I can't wait to do Ask Parviz.
Okay, fine. Don't go trilling your voice at me.
That's got to be like a ringtone or something, huh?
Ding, 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 ding. I think it is.
Is it?
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the Emmys. So you saw them.
I did.
All right. First of all, the big controversy, obviously, is the opening segment, which was Conan O'Brien doing little parodies of basically becoming part of a number of the top-rated TV programs, the top-nominated TV programs. Mm-hmm. The first one was Lost, obviously. And so Conan was on an airplane that was going down. He wound up crawling into a little overhead compartment. And then being on this island, and I'm just wondering how many sounds you can make. You got the gas.
He hasn't coughed yet.
Yeah, really. You gotta
do that.
Go do something. Make some.
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing.
Nothing. I want to move on.
All right, move forward. All right, fine. And of course, that was the day after, I guess, the Kentucky plane crash, that horrible plane crash in Kentucky. And immediately, you know, the folks in Kentucky, the politicians in Kentucky, latched on to how insensitive it was for NBC. They should have pulled the opening, right? They should have rewritten it. Like, they have no fucking idea how television works, like how long it probably took them to shoot all of that
Correct.
Stuff. And it's funny because I'm usually the sensitive one. You know, that's why I got beat up when I was a kid, because I'm the sensitive one. And yet I thought to myself, there's tragedies that happen every day.
Snakes on the plane.
No, this is serious.
I'm serious. That was a tragedy of a movie.
Okay.
And that came out the same. Why aren't we yelling at them with Conan O'Brien?
I'm going to play Road Stories.
No. No, I want to hear what you have to say about this.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
So that got a lot of publicity. I'm wondering, did you see it? What did you think of it?
I think Conan's brilliant. I think Conan's brilliant. And did I see the plane crash? No. Did I see Conan's monologue? Yes, I did. Did I see the beginning? I thought it was hilarious when he's on that island and he told that fat guy from Lost, come with me. He goes, oh, we didn't get invited. That was hilarious. The whole thing was hilarious.
And you talked to people about this on the job?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all, no. Actually, I brought it up the next day within a couple of people. Did you guys watch the Emmys? No, we don't. All right, forget it.
All right, those aren't your people.
No.
You didn't see the opening.
I didn't see the opening.
Did you read anything about this?
No.
Okay. All right, next.
No. I read what you were talking about the whole hoopla, but I think it's ridiculous.
Hoopla?
Yeah. Now, can we talk about the Emmys?
Sure.
Go ahead. Dick Clark.
Please.
Dick Clark.
What about Dick Clark?
Oh, poor, poor guy.
Well, he had a massive stroke.
I know. Why
the fact that he's
why
there.
Why are we prancing him up there on a pedestal like a stroke victim?
What?
I mean, we just saw 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 6 minutes of beautiful Dick Clark in his younger days, which was just last week or 3 months ago or a year ago. And now we got him up there slurring a speech, trying to be funny. What are we doing?
Oh, really? So you think it was in poor taste to have him?
No, not poor taste. More poor taste was Simon Cowell's chest. Why didn't that guy button up and put on a tie? Who the hell is this guy walking around prancing around with his shirt unbuttoned?
Am I right, people? And seriously, peanuts and airplanes.
And he's the one that's introducing...
Am I right, people?
And he's the one...
with me on
he's
this.
He's the one that's introducing Dick Clark. Ed McMahon should be introducing Dick Clark. Ed McMahon had a bigger role in Dick Clark's life than Simon Cowell. Screw that Simon, right? And you got Dick Clark up there slurring his speech, trying to tell some goofy jokes. It's like, poor guy. You know, just, what if, I don't know. I thought it was humiliating. Didn't you think it was humiliating?
Well, don't you think I mean, you didn't see that part either.
I did see that part.
Oh, so what did you think?
Well, I think, you know,
Kirk
Douglas came up and did that, I felt very uncomfortable. And I did feel a little uncomfortable watching Dick Clark because he had always been so
young and lively.
Yeah. And right. So, but I had compassion for what, you know, he had gone through, and he has been such an icon in television and the whole, what was it?
American Bandstand. Okay.
And so.
Big fan, were you?
Well, I just forgot.
Yeah. Watch it every afternoon when you got home. Yeah. Yeah. We're going rocking. We're going rocking today. Going popping.
I'm younger. I'm younger than you, Robin.
That was sad.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think they gave him the opportunity and he could have said, no, I'd rather not? I mean, nobody forced him. I didn't see a guy off stage with a gun pointed at his head.
No, he had a stroke. I'm sure a gun would have been better. But...
Whoa.
Edit that part out, please.
Whoa.
No, yeah, you're right. He had a choice and he chose to do it, you know, good for him, but it's like, oh, just poor
World
guy.
Stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained. It's
funny, funny comedy.
Those tree hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
I'm going to master that one. Brian Cox. With a hand gesture like this, Brian Cox.
So are you really saying that you were uncomfortable in seeing him up there?
I felt so bad for the guy. So bad.
But
so bad.
Isn't it wonderful that he's recovered enough that he could stand up there? And, I mean, it shows his indomitable spirit. Doesn't he really stand for the human spirit to rebound from such a horrifying illness? To be able to actually be there.
That's a really good point, because we look at it because we're uncomfortable, but we're perfectly healthy. We don't have any issues. But if we've had a stroke and we see Dick Clark get up there and be able to speak the way he's spoken and present himself the way he did, that's really admirable. I felt bad for the guy.
I just felt bad for the guy.
So maybe next time they do something like that, like just behind a curtain, just some kind of drape or something like that. So we
have
don't
him
have
wave
to,
from the audience.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been good. Waving from the audience,
smiling.
Or just put him. Yeah, or like Christopher Weave, we should have just put him in a wheelchair, even though he's obviously able to get around. But just for the hell of it, we should have put him in.
Show that he can stand up, and then sit
did
down
you think
and wave.
At all it was disrespectful to have Simon Cowell introduce him?
What do you think?
I didn't really think about it that much, but I just wonder what the whole Simon Cowell thing is all about.
That is
so I would agree with you.
It's almost like, why are they having everybody but Tori Spelling talk about Aaron Spelling?
Well, because he didn't leave her any money, I guess, and they were afraid what she was going to say.
Okay, so you're going to have Farrah Fawcett there and say, oh, he was really good, and he patted me on the back.
Now, let's talk about that, because that was really weird. The Charlie's Angels talking about Aaron Spelling.
Yeah, one, I think, out of the three was mature.
Yeah.
Farrah was out there, and then the other one, Jacqueline Smith, she was cute, but she was just, the first speech was more heartfelt. I forget her name.
I forgot, too.
So what did you think of the Emmys?
I was bored by them.
Oh.
I was bored by them. I thought Conan did a great job in kind of sticking his finger in the eye of the Academy without, you know, by sort of maintaining the ha-ha-ha thing. Here's what I think is interesting. This is clearly an opportunity for Conan to sort of show that he's got the goods to take over for Leno. right, which happens in another couple of years. I mean, it's not that far away, isn't it?
That's right. Isn't I totally forgot about that, yeah.
Is it 2009 or something like that?
So Leno's going to be out of here?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't think they make him leave the country. I think he gets to keep his house and half of his property. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. And of course, it doesn't make a lot of sense to people in the industry why the fuck Jay Leno's leaving anyhow. It's not like he's 90 years old. I mean, he's right. younger than Letterman. So this doesn't make any sense. My guess is he's bored with the whole process. And so Conan's going to take over, but Conan doesn't have middle America sensibility. I mean, you heard what Jason was saying on the show today. Those are the people that watch Leno, mm-hmm. right? They go to The Price is Right. They watch Leno. You know, for them, it's like, it's Hollywood. I come out here to see the sign, and I went down to Sunset Boulevard and the Tower Records and over to Hollywood and Vine. And this is Hollywood. I'm here at TV City and studio. You know, and it's just like those are the people that come to the tapings of The Tonight Show and that, you know, he does the stupid jaywalking, and they think jaywalking is funny over and over fucking again. There's nothing absurd. There's nothing wry. It's comedy that's served to you on a paper plate. That's what Leno is all about. And Conan, I think, operating within the confines of that, finds a way to fuck with your meal. It's comedy on a paper plate, but there's a little piece of plastic dog poop in the corner. You know what I mean? And you go, is that dog poop, you know? And so I wonder how he's going to translate moving over to the primetime slot. He was doing well for people who were in the audience, but those were all industry insiders. I mean, those people were all too hip for the room. Every one of them there was too hip for the room. So, all right, let's talk about who won these kind of things, right? We don't have to go through the whole listing here, but I've got the winners right here. Drama series was 24. I was surprised because I wonder how many people actually watch 24. You watch 24?
Probably only 24 people.
You watch 24?
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it requires a commitment. I watch 24, but I TiVo the damn thing. It was up against Grey's Anatomy. Big surprise it didn't win, right? Considering it had done so well the year before. House, which is, I think, a much better drama, just in terms of story and what have you, because there are no theatrics to carry it through. Right? It's based on story and acting. Whereas 24, he's trying to save the world every week. You know, so it's always ramped to 11 every single week. The Sopranos, which was kind of a slow season, 24, and The West Wing, which probably had its best season in the last five or six seasons when we talked about that last week. So that was kind of a surprise. Comedy series was The Office on NBC.
I've seen The Office, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about that one?
What were the other ones that were nominated?
The Office, Arrested Development, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Scrubs, and Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, Two and a Half Men. I can't believe that show sucks.
Isn't that amazing that's I mean,
it's the number one comedy right now.
I know, and also, The New Adventures of Old Christine. That was the show that Julia Louis-Dreyfus won for, right? His best woman comic lead role thingy. And she got up there. She was genuinely surprised. Yeah. I think she knows that show is mediocre at best.
Yep.
That show is a show from the 80s. That is a CBS 1980s comedy show. That's what that show is.
That's horrible.
Right? And she's showing a little more breast, you know, and have you ever seen her show?
I've never seen it.
It's almost unwatchable. I was very, very surprised. But I think, I don't know what they were trying to, you know, break the Seinfeld curse. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Let's see. The Amazing Race, nobody cares about. Tony Shalhoub from Monk. Drama series was Mariska Hargitay in Law and Order Special Victims Unit. That's a series I think that's begun to run its course at this point. And they're moving them around. I don't know if you've seen the fall. First of all, the fall schedule starts tomorrow night, I think. Or tonight. No, the fall schedule starts tonight on Fox. There's some kind of breakout lawyer. There's a lawyer thing. It's called Justice with Vincent Gabler, the guy who was on Alias.
Hmm. I haven't heard of it.
No? You watch these things? Anyone? No. Television?
No. But no, tonight I think is that the guy who did the Supersize Me. He's in jail. That's tonight on FX.
Okay. Let's see. Supporting actor Alan Alda won for The West Wing. That was kind of a nice little gimme for him.
I guess he wasn't even there. Screw him.
That's true. Jeremy Piven won for Entourage.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
Jeremy Piven is awesome.
Yeah. He is awesome. Yeah. Blythe Danner. You know, every time I look at her now, all I can see is that she's Gwyneth Paltrow's mom.
That's right.
I can't, like...
She was in Meet the Parents, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You want a cookie?
No. No, I just wanted to know that I was right.
We don't have to go through the rest of these things. But, I mean, they were boring. There was nothing going on there.
Actually, the only acceptance speech I thought was mildly entertaining was that one guy, he came up and he thanked everybody that thought he wouldn't make it in this world. You know,
that's the guy who created My Name is Earl.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
Garcia.
That guy was hilarious. That guy was funny.
Garcia. And at the end of his programs every week, it has the little production company thing that he does. It's called Amigos de Garcia. And I think it's Greg Garcia, and he has like photographs of his friend with a sombrero on. Apparently, the show has been so successful and it's been picked up. He's run out of friends.
Oh,
like to take pictures of, and so like you could go to the website and like submit your picture, and then you could become an amigo de Garcia. All right, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take another break. We're gonna play another Dylan song, which will probably sound like the other Dylan song. What should I play?
Oh, I don't know. Play one that's only like 8 minutes long. Is that possible?
I got Someday Baby.
All right. So we got to do Ask Parviz because I'm dying to find out what these questions are.
All right. We'll come back. We'll do Ask Parviz. All right.
All right. All right.
Ask Parviz or F Parviz?
No, I think it's Ask Parviz.
Ding, 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 ding.
You know what people should do? They should call in and give me any sound effect whatsoever. I will duplicate it just like that.
It is 206.
It is 206.
666.
666.
6540.
6540. 206. 666. 6540. That's right. Call right now and you'll receive not one, not two, but three Kinsu knives.
Do I really sound that insincere and fake and
plastic? No, I was just doing the fake radio voice right now. I wasn't even doing you.
After... You're such a lying sack of shit.
I was not.
I didn't think he was doing you.
Not at all. Not at all.
He's doing radio
voice. I was doing, you know...
Just because you have a radio voice.
What? Was it that terrible?
I like when you pick on me.
Oh, please.
It's not fair when you pick on me.
All right, let's do Ask Parviz. I can't wait.
All right. We'll play a short Dylan song. It's only 4 minutes and 52 seconds long. It's called Someday Baby.
Someday Baby. Someday the baby will come out.
All right. We'll come back on the other side with more stuff.
Hope it's upbeat.
Ask Parviz, baby.
Ask Parviz, baby.
All right. Stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
I don't care what you do, I don't care what you say, I don't care where you go or how long you stay. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore. Well, you take my money and you turn me out, you fill me up with nothing but self-doubt. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore. When I was young, driving was my craving. You drive me so hard, almost to the grave. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me. Overlooked. I don't know what to do now, baby.
got me so hooked. Someday, baby, you ain't gonna worry for me anymore.
Funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny comedy.
Those tree hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Cox, and a few people have asked for my email address. Here it is, info@coxmarketing.ca. info@coxmarketing.ca. Love to hear from you, no matter where you're from. And here's a story now. It's got a warning at the beginning of it. Kids, don't try this at home. Please leave it up to professional stupid comedians. Three comics were on the road. Bill, Tony, and Bob. And they were on their way to a show in a really, really small town. Well, like, honest to goodness, this town had, like, what, 60 people in it or something. Anyway, they hired the guys for a town hall gig. Bill, the driver, decided to stop in a bigger town near the gig for a bite to eat and, you know, to stretch a bit. The three finished their meal. Bill paid for it because Tony and Bob were only making $50 for their part in the show. As they made their way up the street, they noticed a computer store. All three go in to have a look around because there was tons of really nice computer systems and home electronics and, you know, guy stuff. Anyway, they looked around. Bill called to the others. He said, "Hey, it's time to go." Tony, right beside Bill, said, "Hey, where's Bob?" Well, they both looked and they thought they couldn't see him. And anyway, they thought he went back to the van. And they looked down the street, and lo and behold, there he was, running as fast as he could. Bob ducked into an alley. The other two jumped in the van. They gave chase. Then they picked him up and found out that Bob had stolen a laptop computer. While the two were giving chase and catching up to this idiot, Hathaway gave the store time enough to call the cops, and they gave the cops a pretty good description of all three of them. Bill and Tony pleaded with Bob, "Come on, man, get rid of the thing. Throw it out. Get rid of it." No way. So they all decided to head out on the highway and head towards the gig. Well, they made it about 15 miles, and the cops surrounded the van, guns drawn. It was a wild sight. Bob hid under a bunch of sleeping bags in the back of the van, but was found in about 30 seconds. He gave himself up without a struggle or smart-ass comments. Of course, Bill and Tony were pointing him out all the time, going, "Hey, hey, he's back there, under the sleeping bags." All three of them were hauled down to the local jail so the cops and everybody could figure out this whole big theft thing. During the chase and short pursuit, the cops, of course, were on their radios. Now, if you know this, in small towns, everybody and their dog has got a police scanner. Word spread faster than butter on hot toast. The comics were going to be a little late for the show tonight. Well, as everything would work out, Bill and Tony talked themselves out of this mess, explained they had nothing to do with it. All they did was transport Bob's despicable criminal mind and stolen laptop. Bob confessed and was charged with theft. He went to court. Yeah, it was a big court case there, and, well, I don't know what he got, but he got something like about 10,000 hours community service in that small town that they were going to. Now, how is that for a sentence? Meanwhile, the three amigos got to the hotel, and they made Bob set up all the sound equipment and get the stage ready. So when Bob got up on stage, a thunderous round of applause from this crowd. They were all chanting, "Thief! Thief! Thief!" Okay, kids, don't try this at home. It seems that the owner of the computer store was a real asshole and nobody really cared, but the three went on and had a great show. That's it for Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. I'm Brian Cox.
This has been your orientation. Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock ya!
Welcome back. We're 44 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Parviz Vitali, and you. Episode number 25. That was a better Dylan song.
Yeah, it was.
You don't remember because because during the Brian Cox piece, we had part of your brain removed surgically. No need for anesthetic.
Or NyQuil.
Did you hear that a black hole may swallow the earth? Did you read about this?
No.
Imagine a black hole swallowing the earth, ending life in an instant. It's not only the stuff of pulp science fiction novels, but scientists say a looming possibility. Like, this made the news the other day. Like, now something else to worry about. Like, I don't have enough problems with MSNBC. Now I got to watch about black holes. All right. Let's move on to the real deal, all right?
When's it supposed to happen, though?
Tuesday.
So I'll only out of town. I'll only I won't be affected.
That was good.
What? I wish I knew how to quit you.
To be totally honest, I deal with a black hole every day.
Ah, oh, that's shit.
Exactly.
That shit is shit.
Thank you.
All right.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
And now it's time for your favorite segment of the week. It's Ask Parviz, starring Parviz Vitali.
Vitali.
I know a man named Otis who invented a roof, and his heart was filled with pride. I said to Mr. Otis, "What does your room do?" He said, "It goes from side to side." So I said, "Mr. Otis, if you take my advice, you'll be the richest man in town. You gotta take that room that goes from side to side and make it go up and down."
And that was good advice, good advice.
Good advice costs nothing and it's worth the price. I sincerely doubt that the world could do without my good advice.
That's right.
Yeah!
A new segment.
Brand new. It took 25 to come to this point.
Ask Parviz.
Ask Parviz.
You want him to change the lyrics on that song, though?
Yeah, as it's got to be part, instead of Otis, Parviz.
Yeah. This is Alan Sherman.
Yeah.
And he's been dead for about, I don't know, easily 15 years.
Okay.
You don't see a problem here.
No? As long as he's not black.
All right, so are you preparing for this? Are you excited about this?
I'm so excited. I feel like the Dr. Feel. Or the Dr. Feel.
All
I don't
right,
know.
There we go. And we're done. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Drive carefully.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Everybody.
Woo! All right.
I have no idea what to expect. This is exciting.
All right, so here is the very first question. Now, people have been sending email. Uh-huh. It's parviz@schnauzerlogic.com, parviz@schnauzerlogic.com, or they've been calling 206-666-6540. Here is the first call that we received.
Hi, this is a question for Ask Parviz. My name is Angela, and I'm calling from Boulder, Colorado. And my question is, I've been reading a little bit, and I know that physicists and astronomers talk a lot about dark matter these days and dark energy, and I really don't understand what that's all about. But I'd really like to know, and I know that Parviz is so well-read and so knowledgeable that he'll be able to tell me what that's about and explain it to me in a very clear fashion. So I'm hoping he can do that, and if he can relate that to, you know, the expansion of the universe and all that. That sort of thing, and Planck constant, and whatever else, that would be useful too. Okay, thanks. I hope to hear it on the show. Bye bye.
Angela was calling from the future.
She was sending Morse code right there.
Well, we're still working out the bugs here in the future. Thank you, Angela. By the way, thank you very
thank
much
you,
for
Angela.
That question.
But was she say she was bleeding? What was the beginning of the question? She said, "I'm bleeding."
What?
I've been reading.
All right, here's the beginning of the question. Hold on.
Road stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny.
I've been reading. Got it, reading.
Now your host, Brian Cox.
Brian Cox.
All right, she said she's been reading. About,
reading.
So this is connected to these black holes.
Oh, got it. So go ahead. The question was, I've been reading about... No, Angela, I heard the question, but quite honestly, I was stuck on the very first part. I didn't know if he said I was bleeding.
You were worried.
Don't call me. Call a doctor.
All right. All right. I want to play the beginning again.
Yes.
All right, we'll edit these in the future so they sound better.
Hi, this is a question for Ask Parviz. My name is Angela, and I'm calling from Boulder, Colorado. And my question is, I've been reading a little bit, and... I know that physicists and astronomers talk a lot about dark matter these days and dark energy, and I really don't understand what that's all about.
Okay.
But I'd really like to know, and I know that Parviz is so well-read and so knowledgeable that he'll be able to tell me what that's about and explain it to me in a pretty clear fashion.
Okay.
All right. Go.
Dark matter and dark energy, that what we've been experiencing lately in dark matter and dark energy has a lot to do with the signal lights going on in the country. If you notice, when you get up to a four-way stop...
Yeah?
When you get up to a four-way stop, please right. Don't look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
When you get up to a four-way stop, and do you ever wonder...
You mean like a stop with a traffic light?
Correct.
Okay.
Four-way stop with a traffic light.
All right.
It has to do with dark matter, and has to do with the atmosphere. Because how does the lights know that my car is up there? And how do they know how much time to allow the next car to go make a left, a right, or go straight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
No, I know everything.
Okay.
Okay. I know too. But
okay.
But the whole dark matter thing, Angela from Boulder, Colorado,
right,
is a little concerned because from what I understand in Boulder, Colorado, they don't have the kind of traffic lights that we do here in California.
All right.
They have the kind of traffic lights that hang on a string. Ours are on a pole.
So you're saying that it's more like the string theory of traffic lights.
Correct. Because it's hanging on a string, it swivels in the wind. Therefore, it doesn't always catch the car.
Okay.
Hence the black denseness of the solar system. Next question, please.
All right. Thank you very much, Angela.
Thank you, Angela. I love you, Angela.
You'll be getting Ask Parviz t-shirt. Well, actually, since you're in the future, you should have already received it. All right. Here's the next question.
Parviz, can I ask you a question? Parviz, can I ask you a question? My question is, how can we end terrorism in the country today? You know, they keep saying we need to get inside the mind of a terrorist to find out. And since you're the closest thing to a terrorist I know, or the closest person to a terrorist I know, besides my ex-wife, who I don't speak with anymore, I really thought you might have the answer. Thank you, Parviz.
Now, he was bleeding, as you can tell. All right.
If you want to get rid of terrorism... today.
He wants to end terrorism.
You have to make John Dukovan the leader. Because John Dukovan has this draw.
Leader of?
The terrorist world.
Okay.
The petition to end all terrorism in the world.
Okay. If you have John become... You know when you capture a terrorist in the States, you play Barry Manilow records? To really drive them nuts.
Oh, down at Gitmo.
Correct.
Okay.
To get
kind
them
of a
to
psychological
talk.
Torture.
Exactly. If all we right. bring every audio that we have at John Dukovan and we send it to Iraq,
okay.
I promise you.
God, this whole segment was a bad idea.
No, it's not. This is working. I promise you.
Such a bad idea.
No, it's not. It's working. No. I promise you.
Really?
I promise you. Terrorism will end. Because if his draw... Because, listen, no. You got hear me out. Hear me out. No. This is John Dukovan's favorite song right now. It's his speed.
Okay.
But listen, you got to know. Okay, wait, cut the music. You have to understand my logic here. Terrorism, they deal with this kind of noise and this kind of commands. You ready? John Dukovan.
Hey, everybody.
Next question, please.
All right. Thank you, John. The next question, the last...
I feel like Paul Lynn.
Yeah, the... Dead and gay? Wow. Okay. I can roll with that. Okay. This is from Allie Heaney, a listener of the show. And Allie writes, I have a question, Mr. Parviz. Who is your favorite band, genre, and album? Does not have to be of all time, but it would be cool to know what sort of music you like. It's a little personal question.
All right. This one has nothing to do with the black hole or terrorism, so I can answer this question.
Okay.
My favorite band and my favorite album of all time. I have a lot of favorite albums. But one band I would probably always go see is probably Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses will be here in the Bay Area mid-September, which I'm going to.
Guns N' Roses will be here in the Bay Area coming in mid-September.
But, there is one band.
We should talk like pirates.
There is one band.
I think we should finish the last 5 minutes of the show talking like a pirate. Hey, tell me about Guns N' Roses.
My genre. My genre is definitely rock and roll. I love rock and roll.
The parrot likes rock and roll. I am a country man.
I love a good melody.
I
love a good good rock guitar riff.
A good rock riff.
But I would love to plug right now a
band. You know what my favorite rock player was? Davy Jones. Because he was in the Monkees.
I would love to plug right now one of my favorite rock bands that has absolutely no press whatsoever.
We're running out of time.
The Mayfield Four. Check them out. The Mayfield Four has a lead singer called Miles Kennedy. They're one of the best bands out there.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode
That's
of Ask Parviz.
That's it. Bad advice
is just the same as good advice. Everybody makes occasional mistakes, and that was bad.
Wait a second. What about Sherry? She's got a question for Ask Parviz.
My friend, we are out of show. Blissfully. I want to back up. Okay, now imagine that I am now in the audio editing program. I want to back up about 4 seconds. And I want to insert the word blissfully, thankfully, gratefully out of fucking show. Well... You know, when I was in radio school, when I was in radio school, I tried a very elaborate improv once without any preparation. And what that taught me was, don't do that. Yeah. No, not that. The other thing, but not that. Don't do that.
That All was right. fabulous.
We got the first one out of the way.
The first one's always the roughest. The first one's always the roughest.
It was your maiden voyage.
I think we should do it like a pirate. I like that anyhow. You know it's Davy Jones of the Monkees.
Yeah,
he had a locker.
I need questions. I need questions. I need personal questions. Okay? Not only personal questions, but I need advice questions. If you need advice from me, that's what you get, Ask Parviz. Advice. John DeCoven's advice about terrorism. Yeah, I have the secret, but I'm not going to tell everybody.
All right.
All right.
What are you doing over the weekend? Long weekend. Labor Day weekend here in the United States.
Nothing terribly exciting.
Okay. You?
Nothing terribly exciting.
I start school next Tuesday.
Get out of here.
Yes. Next
what
Tuesday,
school?
My job. My job.
Plumbing school.
Plumbing school. It starts next Tuesday for the next 5 years.
Yeah. Hope you don't flush out. Lucy! Nothing? You're not doing anything?
Well,
you have the kids?
I never really know if I'm going to have the kids.
I think we should drive up to Seattle.
Why?
Just to get the fuck away. Just get in the car and go on a road trip.
Can I just do one more? Can I do one more imitation before we sign off?
Yeah.
Please?
Is it a short one?
Very short.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right, here we go. Close your eyes.
It goes a little something like this.
Shaggy!
That was it?
That's Scooby-Doo. No?
All right.
Oh, that was fabulous.
You need to learn more than one word
thanks.
That was Scooby-Doo.
Do it again.
Shaggy.
Do it again.
Shaggy. Okay.
He does every one of the characters he does with like Down syndrome. I'd like now to do Don Knotts with Down syndrome. I would like to do Scooby-Doo with Down syndrome. I'd like to talk like a pirate with Down syndrome.
Aye. Parrot.
I'd like to do Dick Clark right now with Down syndrome.
Dick Clark with Down syndrome.
Now Barry Manilow.
All right.
Did you say Barry or Mary?
I don't know. You were talking.
Know, Barry Manilow looks just downright weird.
Very weird. Too many facelifts. Too many. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, very weird.
I think Michael Jackson is the only one that applauded for him.
Okay. Well, next week is show number 26, our first show in September for the official beginning of the school season.
That's right.
It should be very exciting. We want to thank everyone for listening. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. Don't be attached to the outcome. More reviews at the iTunes Music Store would be great. Thank you very much. Also, go on over to Save MSNBC on XM.com and go click on the petition. Go sign the petition. We'd love to have that happen. And until then, have a great week. Have a great weekend. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Be good. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?